Guess what, guys?
We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor.
That includes diets, surgeries, and exercise.
We love you guys.
And we want you to continue to be in our OSLP family forever.
So be careful and consult your doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just got our blood work done.
Yeah, we did.
And our doctors asked us, what are we doing to have such great blood work?
Yeah. And you know what we told them?
ProCare!
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we told them, like, yeah, we take ProCare every day because they have a multivitamin that you can just take one a day.
Yes, exactly. They have a capsule and a chewable form. And not only do they have vitamins, but they also have calcium chews.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
They're so delicious. It's like our own little sweet treat for the end of the night.
It really is, because they have the dark chocolate and they have the cinnamon roll.
Yes. And I love the salted caramel and the dinner mint.
All righty. We'll go to ProCareNow.com
and use code OSLP at checkout to save some money. You guys ask us all the time, what is our favorite protein powder?
Yeah, literally, we see this question every day.
And the answer is always Devotion.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I even use it this morning to make my own sweet treat for nighttime, because it's just a brownie batter pudding. And you literally just use one scoop and then milk or water.
And then I use it every morning in my profi. It's so delicious. Oh, my God. I want one right now thinking of it.
Seriously, it's 20 grams of protein. So go get yours now at devotionnutrition.com
and use code OSLP to save some money.
Welcome back, OSLP family!
Yeah.
You are listening to Our Sleeve Life podcast, and this is Kelly.
This is Mel.
And we just want to first remind you that we have a really cool live show coming up.
Yeah, we do.
It is in San Diego. It is
April 30th.
That's another date. April 30th. Yes. It's going to be in San Diego. We're really, really excited. It's hosted by Berry Diaries.
Yeah.
If you have not listened to her, check her out. And so we are going to actually be co-hosting it with her.
I know. I'm excited because it's going to be sunny and nice and not so cold.
We love San Diego. Yeah.
And you just go to berrydiaries.com and you pick your event time, and it's $35. So yeah, you guys have no excuses to come hang out with us,
my friends. Very inexpensive. And we are super stoked to meet all of you and take pictures and talk to you.
That's
right. We love hearing your stories. And just when you check out, make sure you mention that we sent you over there.
Put OSLP in that.
Yes, exactly. And if you haven't already, go over to our Patreon.
Yeah.
It is patreon.com/OSLP. And we have the world's best support group over there. We love our benchies. We like to call it the winner's bench, because we are no longer losers.
That's right.
And so we hate the loser's bench term. Mm-hmm. So we changed it.
We did change it. And we have over 80 people in that group with us. It's on Facebook. You hang out with me and Kelly all day long. Mm-hmm. We comment. We share. Mm-hmm. We tell you guys stories. They tell us the stories. Mm-hmm. So it's very a supportive group. So,
and there is no negativity allowed.
That's right. No judgments.
No judgments. And you can legit share anything.
Anything.
So even if you just got a new dog, post that on up.
Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah, if you got a pedicure, post that on up. It doesn't matter. We like to hear it all. So
that's right. So, and if you want to watch this, because we have an awesome guest that we're about to introduce, you definitely just need to go to YouTube. And if you don't know what YouTube is, guys, what is wrong with you? Oh, my goodness. Go to YouTube. And all you have to do is put in Our Sleeve Life podcast. We pop up and you just hit the little subscribe button. And we have a bunch of different playlists. So we have season 2 all the way up to season 5 available. And every Tuesday, a new episode drops for the YouTube world.
Correct.
So,
and also, if you want to watch them early before they drop on YouTube, that is also over on our Patreon.
It is. They get it 10 days early.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and jump in and introduce our wonderful guest, the sleeve dietitian on Instagram. Thank you for joining us, Jamie.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. I'm so excited. And I can't wait to just talk about all the things today.
Yes. Let's begin with your journey, because you have a special kind of platform where you have been sleeved.
Yep.
And you're a dietitian.
And you've had plastics.
So let's dive in and say, like, where did your journey begin?
You're our unicorn, just FYI.
Yes, you are.
Did you say like the last
one? You're my unicorn. You've got all the things.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So how far back should I go? I guess.
You know, what's your why? What made you start this whole thing?
Yeah.
So I struggled with my weight my entire life. I was over 200 pounds by the time I was nine. So childhood obesity was a struggle. And it was really, really hard. If you had told me, like, even like 15 years ago, like, hey, like, you're going to be a dietitian someday, I would have absolutely laughed. like you got the wrong girl. So my whole life, it was just, you know, that ongoing weight struggle. And it was really hard, because it didn't really make sense. My sister, who ate the same foods as me and we did the same activities, never struggled ever. And here I was, like, 9 years old and like fourth grade, 200 pounds. And it wasn't until I was 14 that I actually got diagnosed with PCOS, which we were just chatting about, but that's polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it started to make sense. And, you know, I was very fortunate to get the diagnosis as early as I did, but it didn't really help much because they were kind of like, well, we don't really have a lot of answers for you. And that was kind of the overall tone. And in my head, you know, going into my teens, I kind of felt like there's nothing I can do about this. I have this syndrome and it's out of my power and control. So why bother trying? Was kind of my mindset as that went around. So, as I went through high school, I kept gaining weight, and it was in my first year of college, which at that time I was going to school to be an English teacher with a minor in art.
Completely different.
And I had gotten to this point where I said, you know, even if I can never lose a pound, because I tried my whole life, the yo-yo dieting, the restricting, like the whole thing, like I, no matter what I did, the scale never would go down. And I got to a point where I was like, you know what, even if I never lose a pound, if I keep gaining at this rate, I don't know what my life is going to look like. You know, my highest recorded weight was about 270 or so. I'm pretty sure I was closer to 290, if not more, just because I wasn't weighing myself. And it was hard. Like, I was at school, going to college. I had like no social life. I was so shy, which people are really shocked to hear that, because I'm kind of an open book now and I'm talking, but I was like that girl who sat in the back and did not talk. Like, the more you didn't notice me, the better. And even just like walking up the stairs at school or getting across campus was getting hard. So I was like, all right, I got to do something. And I ended up for the very first time trying to be consistent. I was like, I got to at least be consistent, not because of weight loss at this point, but because of my health. And so what started off as some really healthy habits, or what I thought at the time were healthy habits, quickly turned to some pretty disordered habits. So I lost about 50 pounds. And then I lost an additional 20 in a very unhealthy way. So the first 50 was pretty just like consistent, going to work out. And it did become incredibly obsessive. It became incredibly restrictive. And it got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I need some help. I think I need some therapy.
What do you mean by restrictive?
Like completely starving myself. Like restricting my intake. So what it started off is like, oh, I'm going to plan my meals. And oh, I'm going to maybe count my calories. And this was probably back in 2013. So 2012. So before weight loss surgery came into play. But I had lost, you know, this weight. I did I started off in a really great headspace, and then it really quickly went downhill. And I realized I actually don't know anything about healthy eating. This is not healthy at all. And I started going to therapy for the first time, and I started to have this true interest in like, okay, like what I did to lose that weight was not healthy. I want to do this, and I want to do this right, and I want to do this in a healthy way. And that's what really sparked my interest for nutrition. And in the back of my head this whole time, I was like, I really want to help other women with PCOS, because disordered eating and unhealthy behaviors is really common in that community, because it seems like nothing seems to work. And I felt like, because I had seen a handful of dietitians myself at this time and through that diagnosis, and I kind of felt like they didn't quite understand the struggle. I'd never been there. I was like, I want to help other people who are struggling with this. So I went back to, I changed my major. I was like, 3 years in, I was like, well, I can't really do this if I'm going to be an English teacher with a minor in art. So let me like start over. So I switched schools, changed my career path, decided to go to school for nutrition and dietetics, went through that whole long process. And during this time, I started to really, you know, eat really healthy and practice everything I was learning. And through that, I did gain a ton of weight because what I was doing prior was not healthy. Oh. So before I knew it, I was in my last year of school, my dietetic internship year, which that's the like most intense year. That's when you're doing your clinical rotations and getting your hours met. And it's a really intense year. And I finally said, you know, like, I need another tool. Mm. This, here I am back at my heaviest weight. Here I am helping other people be healthy. I almost felt like a hypocrite. I'm like, I can't get my own weight under control. I'm struggling so much. How the heck am I supposed to counsel someone on weight loss
right.
or to do healthy things if I don't feel like I'm able to even do that myself? So it was during this year, I finally decided, okay, I'm going to look into weight loss surgery. Mm. And it was, honest to God, like the hardest thing I ever did. Mm. I felt so overwhelmed by the process. I felt, you know, a lot of that stigma was weighing very heavy on me. I felt like a failure. I felt like, why couldn't I do this on my own? I especially felt like a hypocrite as a dietitian. Here I am. And it was really hard from many angles at that point. Mm-hmm. So during winter break, Christmas break of that school year, December 19th, 2017, right before Christmas. I had to have it during Christmas break or I was not going to get the time off. It was very stressful just to time it. Because you cannot take time off in that last year. It's like, oh, it's a lot of pressure. So I had my surgery and I realized going through that pre-op process, especially, I was like, okay, this is really overwhelming. I had a great dietitian. I had a great support system at my bariatric center. But I remember thinking, there's a lot to learn here.
Yeah.
I have a whole degree in nutrition and I'm overwhelmed. How does the average person who doesn't have the education I have like grasp this? Because I'm majorly struggling. Mm. And I remember just feeling like, okay, here's your nice binder with all the rules. Here you go. Go figure this out. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you're just going to release me to the wild. Like, you took my stuff. Here I am. Like, and I come back in 6 months for a checkup. Like, what?
Yep.
And I remember feeling so, I don't know what the right word is, if it's misunderstood or just alone, because my family was supportive, but I did not know any person who had weight loss surgery at all. And I started to really look for that community in Instagram. So I started my Instagram page. I had a different name way back when, but during that pre-op process, I started my Instagram page. So I've been in the weight loss surgery community almost 5 years now.
Wow.
And I just started it just to meet people, to make connections, to post my own journey and to post my own progress. And it's way back when there were always like local weight loss surgery meetups. So before COVID, like those used to happen pretty regularly. So I was only a week or two post-op. And I actually went to a local weight loss surgery meetup here in Connecticut. And I met some of the girls that I met that night, like are still some of my best friends. Like I formed my own kind of group of friends locally just from meeting them through the community. They came to my wedding, like we're really close.
Wow.
So I remember thinking like, I just wish that there was a stronger community or a better set of resources. And that following summer, it was what, maybe like 6 months post-op, I sat for my RD exam. I passed.
Nice. Summer,
I passed.
Yay.
And then that was actually, so when it was July that I had passed my exam. I had my surgery in December. And it was only at that time that I actually told the weight loss surgery community that I was a dietitian. At that time, I had a different Instagram handle. I wasn't really talking about my schooling. I didn't want to be there to give advice when I felt like I just needed support myself. Yeah. It always started really needing that support and community. Mm. And then I started talking more about it. And I started talking more about the things that I knew and the things that I was credentialed to give support with. And so many people were asking me like, oh my God, can you help me? Like, wow. Yeah. Like you actually understand. Wow. Mm. I feel so comfortable talking to you because my dietitian, she's great, but she doesn't get it. Mm. And that like pulled at my heartstrings because that was exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. And it was always my dream to have my own private practice, to have my own business. And originally I always envisioned working with people with PCOS. That was my original like thought process.
Yes.
And that plan changed. I never thought in a million years I'd be working with bariatric patients. It honestly didn't even cross my mind when I was in school.
Oh, really? But
yeah. This process though, I fell in love with this community. Mm-hmm. I realized how many people genuinely needed support. I realized how little post-op support there is across the board. And I've kind of seen the gaps. And it's been really interesting at this point because now one of the main things I do is I try and fill the gap between bariatric center and dietitian to patient client trying to navigate this, because how do we, there's a lot of, I don't want to say problems, but it's kind of like a twofold issue within the bariatric world. You know, these dietitians at their centers, as much as they want to spend time with you, coaching you and supporting you, when you've got 15 patients to see in an 8-hour day and you have to hit all the major points, it's like, well, here's what you got to do. Go do it. Mm-hmm. Then patient walks away and goes, okay, well, how do I do this? I feel like I need more support.
Yeah.
So I try and help bridge the gap now between, okay, this is what your dietitian told you to do. How do you actually do it? Mm-hmm. How do we take those guidelines and things we're told to do on paper and actually implement it in a real way? Because being told to eat 60 grams of protein doesn't really mean a whole lot if you're not told why or how, or, you know, what foods you like. There's so many factors. So that's really where I bring, you know, my own experience with this and the education piece together. So that was a really long-winded answer to your original question.
That's like, okay. No, we're okay. So first off, I have to say, through your entire, I was sitting here like nodding, like so entranced by what you were saying, because that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
Like, I first off restricted really bad even after my surgery, because I felt like if I ate carbs, I was just going to gain it all back. And I wanted to give up everything. So I gave up sugar. I gave up carbs. I gave up everything. And I was so restrictive to myself that I got down to a low weight, but it wasn't in like a really healthy way like I'm at now. I can eat. I can balance better of, okay, like this weekend, I went out with, I left town with my boyfriend and I was able to say, okay, well, at dinner, I'm going to have steak because I know that has really good protein to it. I'm going to enjoy having a sugar cookie that I split with my boyfriend instead of being so restricted that I like am freaked out by the thought of eating sugar. And then all of the stuff that you were saying prior of being overweight and feeling like you want to disappear and feeling overwhelmed by your PCOS, like everything that you said, I was just like, yes, yes, that's exactly how I felt. And the nutrition, like going in, my nutritionist is amazing. I love Ellen, but she's never gone through weight loss surgery. You can watch it a million times, but until you've been through it, you have no idea how we're feeling. And so overwhelmed, and like the fear that comes behind it.
Well, yeah, the anxiety with food, because I think that's what someone that's had the process and is a dietitian can really relate to, is that anxiety feeling, the depression feeling of like wanting the food, but then you can't have the food. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're losing a friend when you go through this process, because like, yeah, like I lost 129 pounds. That's a person. Mm-hmm. And like, so it's literally like I lost my best friend that protected me for like 28 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy.
It's interesting to say that. It's almost like the sense of grief. And I started like documenting my journey even really before I was posting on Instagram. So I have like videos of myself in my car at my pre-op appointment that day. Like, and there's a video that I have that I should probably share it at some point. Yeah. I literally like broke down crying in the car because we were going through like my pre-op and post-op diet. And I knew like every time I was going through the 6-month phase of like things you can and can't have, there are so many times I was like, well, that's it. Can't have the surgery. There's no way I can give that up. Like I remember the appointment where she told me I couldn't have seltzer water because of the bubbles. I was like, I can't have my seltzer water. There's no, like, what do you mean? And I was like, that's it. I'm out. Like I had so many of those moments. I was like, never mind. That's it. I'm not doing this. And obviously I talked myself off that ledge. I was like, you can give up your seltzer water, Jamie.
Right.
Okay. But it felt like every single thing that I loved as far as like food was being taken from me and my lifestyle. And it's like a grieving process. Mm-hmm. And I don't realize how hard that is. And in that video where I was like crying, I was at my pre-op appointment and I think I just assumed that it would be okay to have sugar-free pudding. I'm like, there is sugar-free pudding. Like it's like whatever. Like I thought that was going to be allowed after my surgery. And my dietitian said, no, like, yeah, it's a soft food. Yeah. It's a puree and yeah, it's sugar-free, but there's no protein in it. Like you can't have, like my dietitian said, you can't have that. And like on my car and I cried. I was like, I just want sugar-free pudding, but I don't even like it that much. Why am I crying over it? Like I literally had like a breakdown. I was like, I don't even, I'm like, why am I so attached to the sugar-free pudding? I wasn't something I even really cared about sugar-free pudding. It was the fact that another thing, but I felt like I could like have for comfort was being taken from me. Mm-hmm. And this gave me a lot of insight as a dietitian, because at the time I was doing my clinical rotations at the hospital doing like acute, like inpatient care. And so often in the hospital, people are on liquid diets for procedures or, mm-hmm. you know, no food by mouth is like one of the orders we give. And it gave me such a feeling of like empathy and understanding for these people, yeah. because as clinicians, you don't always think about it. Like you walk in the room and say, oh, well, you can't eat anything because you have this procedure. Sorry, you don't get to eat for 5 days. Like you don't realize the impact that can have on someone. Correct. And so because of this, like I'm obviously a huge advocate for this surgery and the fact that there's so much stigmas around it that I'm trying to break down. Mm-hmm. And even within my own field, right? Mm-hmm. People have their very interesting opinions on weight loss surgery. So one of the things that I've also done, I'm still very connected to my university that I told you I'm doing research through still. And 2 years in a row prior to COVID, when you could not go in to the whole thing, but I would go into the class and I would do like for the dietetic students. Mm-hmm. And I would like a lesson in bariatrics for them. And the last time I did it, I was probably like a year and a half post-op. And I was at that stage where you're like at your lowest still. And someone who didn't know me would have at that time, especially would have no idea that I had weight loss surgery. Right. Mm-hmm. But I did for this class. I think I blew all of their minds. I walked in, I'm like, hey guys, like I'm a registered dietitian. I work with bariatric patients. I told them about like all the things I like to do for fun, including like running and working out and whatever. Didn't mention the weight loss surgery piece. And then I said, let's just have a discussion. What do you think about weight loss surgery? What's your preconceived notions? Like, what are these stigmas you've heard? What are the things that you know, you are going to be a dietitian someday. What do you think personally about weight loss surgery? And I let them.
Oh, no.
Like, I just let them put their foot in their mouth. I love a good shock factor. So I was like, okay, that's valid. Like, you know, a lot of these stigmas were things that we hear, like, oh, like people aren't trying hard enough. Mm-hmm. One girl said, I think it's absolutely barbaric. Like they went to town on this. I said, okay, great. I was like, I'm going to show you a video now of someone who had weight loss surgery. And it was a compilation of all of those videos I had taken of my own journey. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until about 6 of the clips in that they realized it was me.
Nice.
And we're absolutely like one horrified, but also like, oh, we messed up. Yeah. And not even because like their opinion was wrong, but they realized how narrow it was. And then right. we had a discussion about the benefits of weight loss surgery, how it can help people. And I had so many of those students reach out to me and say, you truly changed my perspective on this procedure and it's going to make me a better dietitian. Wow. And that's one of my hopes too, is I think it starts within our own like healthcare system and the professionals who are helping guide you through this. Cause everyone has their own idea about it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make people realize that it's not this barbaric procedure. Mm-hmm. It's the procedure that gave me my life back.
Right.
And that's why it means so much to me. And maybe I sound redundant on my stories talking about it every day, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's such a bigger mission for me, not just, you know, I'm not here to convince the whole world that they need to be on board for it, but at least to start within our own profession mm-hmm. to start breaking down those stereotypes is really important to me.
100%.
Yeah, because we've heard from other doctors that like they get looked at differently because they are in bariatrics. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing.
Dietitian. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's this whole kind, and I could go on a tangent about this forever, so please cut me off. But you know, there's a lot of confusion right now just in even the virtual space, because every dietitian has a little bit of their own take on things, obviously, but you know, how does this fit in with the whole like Hayes movement and intuitive eating and, you know, health at every size. And there are some people who are super against intentional weight loss right now. And that's kind of a divide even between my own profession.
Oh, wow. So,
maybe I shouldn't say this. I'm in a couple of Facebook groups with other dietitians.
Okay.
And this one dietitian got into it this weekend because she was saying how awful it is to like have weight loss surgery and to support people through that. And I'm up there with my pitchforks and knives, like, excuse me.
Yeah.
This is not to sound like I'm shitting all over like my profession. I'm not. There's tons and tons of amazing dietitians mm-hmm. and everyone has just their own opinion.
Right.
And I just want to enlighten people to see the other side of this, because bariatric surgery is not just horror stories. And mm-hmm. I was actually doing some research this weekend and I actually put some of these facts into my recent reel. But the complication rate for like having severe complications after weight loss surgery is only 4%.
Yeah, that's real low.
In comparison to other procedures, mm-hmm. super, super low. So I think we exacerbate like hearing this one horror story mm-hmm. when there's thousands of positive ones. And
It's that echo chamber. It's huge. And it's with anything that's negative. Mm-hmm. It seems to get like feed it out there even more mm-hmm. because people love negative things. Like they've done studies on this like over and over again. You're going to click on more things that are negative, mm-hmm. like little clickbaits, than you are going to be for positive. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why like all the bad things about bariatrics gets out there way quicker mm-hmm. than all the positive, because you have to search mm-hmm. for the positive.
I think about it. One of the things that stands out in my head, all through high school and college, I waited tables. I worked at a restaurant, and my manager used to always say, because we'd always be looking at like the Yelp reviews. Mm. He's like, you guys don't understand. Like people, like I know how great of a job like our servers do and how great you do, but people only write about the bad experiences. Right. They don't go out of their way to write about the good mm-hmm. ones. Mm-hmm. So of course, if you're thinking about having weight loss surgery and you're apprehensive and you go into a Facebook group and people are just like on a rampage, that's all you're going to see. You're not going to see the actual bigger picture of the, and I'm not to invalidate anyone's poor experiences. Complications happen. Some people don't have great experiences, and I don't want to invalidate that in any way, mm-hmm. but I just,
there's just more good than bad. There's more good than bad.
Well, and I feel like Facebook is that place where people just go to bitch. Like they just are in those groups and they are just constantly like negative, 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 negative. And it's so hard because we're in many ourselves.
Yep. Same.
And I'll go through and I'll just be like reading, you know, just going in, just seeing what people are saying. And it's just the negativity just like brings me down. And I'm like, okay, I'm back over on Insta because Insta is at least positive. I can't, for the most part, Instagram is such a positive place. It's totally, it's a different vibe.
On TikTok too.
Yeah.
TikTokers are there just to hurt your feelings, I've found.
Yeah. I did a reel last week about what I ate for lunches because I've been so off plan. And I was like, and so I did a video and I was like, you know, I like to pretend like I don't know how to eat. I do. I did it for almost two full years where I ate these foods. They work. They're delicious. They're healthy. Blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, so I'm going to go in and get all the foods that I used to eat. And somebody wrote on there was you used to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I haven't eaten in a year. Like,
come on.
I'm like, no, I'm just simply putting it out there that these are great options for lunches because that's where I find that I have the most trouble is my lunches. And
people are really like interesting because I got on your TikTok, because which is funny because we have our OSLP TikTok, mm-hmm. Which is funny because like I got a private message about her TikTok. I forgot because you were gone this weekend. So I get to tell you.
Oh,
but like someone was like, a lot of that's processed food anyway. So I don't even understand why she posted that. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Legit, like. I'm giving options of easy lunches. And the majority of that stuff was like apples, the sugar snap peas, sour cream. Like, what?
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned, just like I said, I've been in this space for a long time. I've seen things kind of shift and change a bit, even just in our very, I don't want to say small, but like our little corner of the mm-hmm. internet.
Right. Yeah.
World. And you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
No matter what I post, I can try and touch on as many nuances as possible in my 1 minute reel. Like there's only so much you can cover. And no matter what, every time now, someone is upset with me about something.
Right.
And I'm like, if you know what, maybe I'm not your person. If you don't want to hear that deli meat can be a great meal, because I get the processed complaint too.
Yeah.
But I'm not your person because guess what?
Right.
Even over the stove over here, I've got my rotisserie chicken and then I'm moving on with my day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's crazy we actually had a somebody say that there was not enough information, too much chit chat on our page or on our podcast.
Oh yeah, they put that on our Apple comments like 6 months ago, eight months ago.
And we were like, when we read it, we were like, well, that's not our people.
Yeah, then don't listen.
That's not. And that's true, because guess what? This is your podcast and you can chit chat as much as you want.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's what we like to do. We like to have information, but also have a conversation,
right?
We don't want to just like spout information 24/7.
That's boring.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
That's an infomercial.
Honestly, that's kind of me too. And one of the things I always say, because it's been interesting, I think, you know, if you were to look at my page compared to maybe some other dietitians, obviously my page is different because it's not just nutrition information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I say all the time, I was like, the main reason I am here is for the purpose of meeting people and documenting my journey. Mm-hmm. And my page will always be about me and my journey and my struggles, mm-hmm. alongside me giving information and tips and helping educate and mm-hmm. bring awareness to different, you know, conversations that are happening. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to post a before and after picture, I'm going to post a before and after picture.
Like, yeah. It's your page.
It's weird to be in this space, I guess, as both like I sit here, I have almost two different peer groups.
Yeah, you're patient and professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not just here to teach you how to have a balanced plate. I mean, it's part of what I do, but I'm also here because I want to make friends and have the conversations mm-hmm. too. And I need the support also. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time, especially with, you know, the program that I've developed and the things that I do, I'm trying to bring this community the support that I did not have.
Yeah.
And like I was very fortunate to meet my friends who are local, who I love and have been such an important part of my life, but there was a huge gap in support and community at that time. Mm-hmm. And Mel, I know you're further out from surgery also, so I don't know if you felt that shift.
I felt that 100%.
That's why we started this.
That's why we started this, because Kel and I are 4 years apart in mm-hmm. our surgeries. Mm-hmm. So like I went through this whole process by myself. There was no one I knew that I could really talk to. Like mm-hmm. my brother got the lap band, but like he is not the same. We're like, we're going to like check on each other with like foods and habits and the mental problems. Like mm-hmm. I needed a girlfriend, mm-hmm. you know, and there was no community mm-hmm. here for me for that yet. So like once Kelly got her surgery, yeah, I went over there every Thursday. We hung out, we talked about all the things. And I'm like, that's why one day I was like, can we just do a podcast about this? Because there's so much information that I am learning from her mm-hmm. 4 years later. And like, that's a problem. Like mm-hmm. That's such a huge gap in information.
It is. And I've noticed this too, not even just within myself, but even people I had met who had surgery prior to when I did mm-hmm. and kind of like what you're describing. The thing is, nutrition in general, like the field of nutrition and dietetics is a newer science.
Right.
So nutrition alone is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. Like, if we think about like diet trends back in the 80s, mm-hmm. back in the 80s, it was just, No, I wasn't there for it. But I know.
Well, I watched my mom go through it, so I understand it.
It was all low fat.
Right.
Everything mm-hmm. was low fat, low calorie. Fat makes you fat. Like mm-hmm. I forgot what it was called. They had those like chips that were like 0% fat, but they had chemicals in it. It just made everyone like shit their pants.
Yeah, basically. Gassy. Yeah.
Terrible. Yes. But it was like they wanted super low fat in everything. Mm-hmm. Well, we have found that it is not fat that makes you fat.
Nope.
And you're actually more likely to, it's, you know, there's the calories in, calories out factor. There's also a lot of other factors, like with hormone imbalances, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. It's not just so simple, but we're finding a lot of the, you know, the more, the diets that are higher in refined carbohydrates with extra sugar mm-hmm. more readily going to convert into fat. Obviously, anything you eat in excess will, and I'm not going to get into a whole bio. lesson here, but we no longer as dietitians recommend super low fat diets because mm-hmm. they're not as palatable. They're not going to keep you as full as long. And that's mm-hmm. not the problem.
Right.
And so that's just like one example of how nutrition is evolving so quickly. Mm-hmm. Throw in a relatively newer procedure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how old bariatric surgeries are, but we keep learning and evolving. Like the recommendations that were once given to people mm-hmm. 20 years ago for surgery are so different now.
Right. Even 7 years ago.
Yep.
Are so different.
Completely different. Cause I didn't mm-hmm. do a 2 week fast or anything. Mm-mm. So I didn't do the liver shrinking diet. I just had the 24 hours. That was it.
Well, shucks.
Right. I know. I'm like, screw you, Mel.
I know.
I had to go through a month solid.
I always feel bad when someone comments, but like, have you ever experienced? I'm like, talk to Kelly.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that feels like.
Liquids from December 4th until January 5th. It was the longest 5 weeks of my life because I remember I was supposed to go for like my because I was on like liquids like 2 weeks after, and I was supposed to go to my 2 week appointment to get cleared for like pureed foods, and my surgeon had to reschedule it, and she told me not to advance till she saw me. I was like,
you're like, bullshit. Like, what is going on right now?
I just want to chew something. Like, please, I just want to chew.
Oh, that sensation's so crazy when you're like, I want to chew. I've never felt this before. Nope. Like, that's so new.
Nope.
It's so new. And I have a question for you. So like when you were in that room with those people for the dietitians and they were learning, what is the main difference between bariatric dietitian, like dietitians versus regular? Like, what is the main difference?
So it's basically a specialty, and it's not like you would have to go get a certain certification or training. Mm-hmm. It's just an area of dietetics that you aren't really taught a lot about unless you work in it. Okay. So like when I think back, I could actually go grab it if you want. I got my textbook right over there from my MNT nutrition class.
Yeah.
But there is,
yeah, go get it, girl. Go get it. Go get it. Yeah. Cause like what I always wondered what the main difference is, because they act like they're so shocking. So I'm like, what is this difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that it makes sense for me to go through and find the exact page, but what I can tell you is, there is a paragraph about this big on PCOS in general. That's it.
That is not enough. No, oh my goodness.
There should be a whole book.
There should be. And like, that's a huge problem in itself, is like the women's health problem. Like thinking that like when we tell you symptoms that like they get brushed under the rug, it's quite frustrating.
I'm not going to dig through the whole book, but there's probably in here. And what we learned. That was my medical nutrition therapy book. So medical nutrition therapy is basically, as dietitians, if you are a registered dietitian, you have the ability, you know, within the state that you're licensed in, to prescribe diets. So when you are in, you know, the hospital and you have, you know, let's say like you have diabetes, like the dietitian can give you a carbohydrate controlled diet.
Okay. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. So basically we give nutrition treatments for medical disease states. That's not what I do at this point in my career with what I work doing the bariatric world, because what I do now. But essentially when you go to your bariatric center, your bariatric dietitian is doing the same thing. She's basically prescribing you a diet for your, like your post-op and pre-op care. Okay. But when it comes to like what we learn and how to do that, there's very little in that actual textbook. It kind of just describes like the different surgeries. Like this is the vertebral gastrectomy. This is Roux-en-Y. This is this, like, doesn't even have all of them. And it kind of just talks about how, you know, you have like this reduction in calories and how it can help like treat obesity. Okay. And that's pretty much it. So the thing is, as dietitians, you don't really understand what those guidelines are until you work in a center. So sometimes, unfortunately, you know, centers will hire a dietitian because they are qualified, but they've never worked in it. So they're still trying to figure it out themselves.
Gotcha.
So during our clinical internship year, it's called an internship. That's a really terrible term. And I wish our academy would change it, because it's not really an internship. It's more of a residency.
Okay.
So people don't realize, to go to school for nutrition and dietetics, your dietetics degree is only one course away from being considered pre-med. Wow. It's a lot of science, a lot of metabolism and biochem and all that really fun stuff. But once you graduate, so you have to have your degree in nutrition and dietetics, not nutrition and wellness. That's a whole different like course load, but nutrition and dietetics. And then once you have that degree, you qualify to apply for what they call the internship. It's really competitive. It's a match rate. It's not like you can just apply and then get accepted to a bunch and pick one. It's a very strategic match rate. And if you're going to get matched, you're only getting matched to one. Oh. I think the match rate is 40%. So for every like 10 dietitian students, like 4 will become dietitians, kind of thing.
Whoa,
it's super competitive. I don't know if that statistic has changed since I was in school. But at least when I was applying, it was a 40% match rate. And the internship year, it's 1200 hours. It's essentially like a residency. You go through different facilities. Like you do a long-term care rotation, you go into the hospitals, dialysis centers, like different things. Mm-hmm. And in that year, you get to pick a specialty, usually depending on your program. So shocking, I know. Mm-hmm. I chose bariatrics.
Right, right.
I got placed at a local hospital, and this story is always fun to tell. where I met my bariatric preceptor. So she was the dietitian that I followed. that dietitian was Haley Lemieux, who is the Guacward dietitian.
No way.
That's so cool.
Me and Haley are like real friends in real life. Like I've known Haley since I had my surgery because I was only 4 months post-op when I came up on my specialty rotation and I got placed with Haley, who had also gone through the same program I was in, I think a year before she graduated. So I got to, I think I was at her center with her for 2 months. I think it was 2 months, at least 6 weeks. So I got to, at the time she was working in that bariatric center, I got, and I don't think she cares, so I'm telling the story. I got to help counsel her patients.
Oh, cool.
So that's how I mean, obviously I knew the process because I'd been through it myself, mm-hmm. but I got to experience it from the dietitian perspective because that was a specialty that I chose.
Wow.
How did that feel? Like,
long answer to your question.
Oh, but no, you're good. You're good.
We love the long-winded questions or answers.
That means you can talk. That's what we love.
Yes.
So how did that feel?
Redirect me. Pull me back in.
Well, how did that feel going through that first patient where you're like, you could really relate to them? Do you remember that?
I remember asking Haley, like, is it okay if I tell some of these people that I had surgery? And I only told people if it was relevant.
Right.
So the ones who are really struggling or like resistant or like you could tell we're just like very emotional. Like mm-hmm. for me to like reach out to Haley and be like, hey, I did this too. And I did it recently and you can do it too.
Nice.
Like that meant like the world to me. Mm-hmm. It was really, really eye-opening for me too. I think it's made me a better dietitian, not because I'm better at what I do or anything like that, but because it's made me more overall just empathetic and understanding.
Right.
One of the things I hear thrown around a lot in the like clinical world, or one of the terms that is used a lot for bariatric patients that I hate, is being labeled as non-compliant. Mm. Like, oh, they're non-compliant. They're not going to comply. I'm like, did you do this then? Like,
yes.
You
want to do this diet?
like, it's not that someone's non-compliant. If they're not complying with the diet, why? What are they struggling with?
Right.
How do they get from A to point B? Because this is really hard. Mm. And to just write them off as being a non-compliant patient or not following the rules. Mm-hmm. Sure. Some people are not ready for this. Mm-hmm. Some people probably should not go through this process if they're not ready or have such big like hurdles. And in that case, like it's valid, but just to say, oh, well, they're not going to comply and they're not, it's like that stigma again.
Yeah.
I hate. And one of the things that I'm so passionate about, and it like bothers me to my core, is I hate as bariatric patients, we're often told to do something and not told why we're being told to do it.
Yes.
You know, don't drink through a straw, no carbonation, you know, wait 30 minutes between eating and drinking, have your 60 grams of protein, like all the things. There's like the whole bariatric do's and don'ts is what I call it. Mm-hmm. We are very smart people.
Yeah.
Every one of us, like we are smart women who have gone through this surgery. And in my opinion, I think it's really disrespectful to not be told why you're being told to do something. Mm. And I'm an advocate that we should all be active participants in the care we receive. Mm-hmm. And I think that our healthcare system in general just dictates to us what to do. And we are more likely to absorb the information and apply it in a really productive way if we understand it. Because if I don't understand the consequence of like, oh, you know, they told me to wait 30 minutes between eating and drinking, but it doesn't bother me. So I'm just going to do it anyways, like whatever. Mm-hmm. If I don't understand why they told me that to begin with, I'm not making a really conscious choice for myself because I don't understand the whole picture. Mm-hmm. So that's where like, when it comes to like I felt like it was not only made me more empathetic, but it made me more passionate to give the education piece.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Well, cause yeah, everyone we feel dismissed when like they just go here, do these things. Mm-hmm. And then you go ask why. And sometimes like I've heard people tell us that they get attitudes from their doctors where you're like, just do mm-hmm. it. And it's like, wait a minute. Like we need to understand why, mm-hmm. because like it could be a huge problem, but we don't know.
Well, and I feel like that's the same with medication. You know, you're given a script and you just take the medication without even saying, OK, so why? What is this doing? Like, I've been on so many medication. I'm still on a lot of medication and I just took it and I just take it every day and without even asking. So what does this do?
Right.
why am I taking this medication? Like, which of my diseases does it help? I have no idea which ones help which. Like, I just take them because that's what I was told to do. And I think it would give me so much more information and clarity of what I'm supposed to do as a patient if I was told why.
Yeah, and we just have to be better advocates for ourselves, too. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
That's something I tell people a lot, because I think it's sometimes confusing to people, like how I do what I do, because I'm not the one prescribing diets. Like I said, you still have to follow your bariatric dietitian. Mm-hmm. But I want to help you be that advocate for yourself. I want to give you such a, like my clients or the people who, you know, I educate, I want them to have such a solid understanding mm-hmm. that they feel confident to bring these things up to their mm-hmm. centers.
Right.
I want you to have these conversations with your dietitian. I want you to have these conversations with your surgeon, because if it's your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, we know at this point, like this is not just a diet.
Yeah.
We got to get out of that yo-yo diet mentality to make this a lifestyle. So how do we do that if we don't even understand why we're doing what we're doing?
So can you explain to us a little bit about what you do now?
Yeah.
So explain to us about your business and why you do it.
Okay. Let me start. So originally when I first, you know, I got my LLC, I just got all the systems in place to do nutrition coaching virtually. I started off by seeing one-on-one coaching clients. So I do nutrition coaching. And that's a huge part of, as a dietitian, our education is to help people, like to help facilitate changes. So I started off by doing one-on-one nutrition coaching. And when I launched that after doing it for a bit, I ended up being fully booked, which is a huge honor to be like, wow, like I'm fully booked. Like, this is amazing. This was in the summer of 2020. I can't keep track of my years anymore.
Who can?
So at that point, I was like, you know what? Like, I absolutely love my one-on-one clients, and I still have some one-on-one clients too. But I wanted to basically make a bigger impact. I hated the fact that I was waitlisting people because I just didn't have space in my calendar.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to help more people. I want more people to have access to this information and this support. So what I ended up creating was my membership program. It's called The Tribe. Okay. And it's an acronym that stands for The Real Insights of Bariatric Eating. And you know, it's kind of like a play on words, because as I mentioned before, weight loss surgery meetups used to happen all the time locally. And whenever I would go to them, I had gone to at least like four or so before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And one of the things people would always say is find your tribe, find your people, like mm-hmm. find your tribe. So I kind of took that to heart, because that's really what I was looking for. Is I was like, okay, I want to create a space where people can get legitimate nutrition information. I am so tired of people having to search hashtags to see what someone else is eating, even if it's not what they should be eating. I want them to have a solid nutrition education.
Yeah.
I want them to get the support and community that I didn't feel I had. I want them to come to a place that is not like a Facebook support group and actually get their questions answered by a dietitian instead of some no-schmo.
Right.
You know what they're talking about. And basically what I envisioned is I wanted a space where people could get access to my resources, my support, but in a different way. So the way this membership program works is it's self-paced. So I have dozens of videos of me teaching and explaining things with corresponding workbooks and guides that you can kind of take yourself through.
Okay.
And then there's also this community feature where you can comment, you can ask me questions. I'm in there all week long giving you that feedback, but it's so much more than that. And I've always described it as kind of like the one-stop shop for everything you could need in one spot, because what I envision when I created this is not just me, because it's not about just coming to me for help. It's finding that community that I'm so passionate about.
Right.
So in the tribe, we also have over 100 workout videos that were created by personal trainers who had surgery.
Oh, yay.
Come to this space, and I am a dietitian who had surgery. Mm-hmm. I recently hired this last month another dietitian who had surgery too, and she's helping.
Nice.
We have a psychologist and a therapist who had surgery. Mm-hmm. And so what we've built up within this is not just this self-paced program, but every single month we release a new calendar with anywhere. Honestly, this last month we had 32 support groups.
Wow.
So we have almost a support group each day. I lead some of them. And I brought on these leaders who have these credentials and have had surgery. That's a really important piece mm-hmm. to me. I have one dietitian who helps us who has not had surgery herself, but she is a bariatric dietitian she's smarty pants. She's got her PhD over in at Columbia and she's doing bariatric research and she's amazing. But everyone else has had surgery. We have a postpartum doula who helps as a support group for moms and people after having babies. And it's become such like, it's its own like space where you can come for the support, get on these calls. I also do live Q&A calls. So like I said, it's hard for me to coach so many people one-on-one, but we can get on a big Q&A call together and I will answer all of your questions and I bring on guest experts. And it's especially, you know, having the psychologists in there was really important to me too, because I want the best for the girls in my program. I want you to have the expertise that I don't have. So we have a body dysmorphia support group and an emotional eating support group and a mindset support group. So those are all the pieces, because for me, it's not just about the food. It's not just nutrition. It's all the other things. So one of my favorite parts, and I said this, I feel like I've created the support that I didn't have and craved so badly, because so often I go to support groups that I'm not running because I need the support that day. And what I love is this community that we've built, like, welcomes me in and supports me too on my bad days. And sometimes I get on the calls and I just vent and they're there for me too. So to see like the friendships form within this, because so many of the girls will go to the same like support groups.
Right.
So we've gotten to know each other. So that was really my whole hope in this. So that's primarily what I do at this point. I do still have some one-on-one clients and I've done some small group coaching programs, but I feel like my tribe program is what makes the biggest impact because it reaches the most and it brings people together in that way that I think so many of them.
Yeah. I like the fact of like how you've worked it to where like everybody has had surgery so that that relatability doesn't get lost. And that's a huge community that you can just help.
Well, and I love that you're not just focused on the eating. Like you said, eating is a huge part of it, but it's also all up here too, because if you're not doing the work on your brain and your mindset, it doesn't matter what your diet is, what your food you're eating. Like
it's so true. And my course like starts off with my meal plate method where I bring you through like how to create a balanced meal. But before I even have you dive into that, I have my mindset module on like working on some journaling and slowing things down. And the way it works too, is every single month I add a new topic. So we launched in October of 2020. So we have, 16 different additional topics on top of those baseline ones. So we've talked about navigating relationships after weight loss surgery. We've talked about the whole mindfulness and intentional eating. We've talked about vegan and vegetarian diets. We've talked about PCOS and pregnancy after weight loss surgery. Like, there's so many topics. So because I always say my job as a dietitian is not to give you a diet or tell you what to eat. My job is to teach you the skills so that you can feel confident moving forward. It's why I personally don't do meal plans. I want to teach you how to create the meals that work for you and the foods that you like. And I really just want people to feel that level of confidence in themselves and trust themselves. Because the biggest thing I hear is people so fearful that they're going to fail, whatever that might mean. I'm going to fail. I'm going to get my weight back. I'm going to be a failure. And I try and pull people out of that and realize like, no, like you can do it. You can use some tools and some resources and some support. And I feel like the resources alone aren't enough and the support alone isn't enough. It's got to kind of come together.
Correct. Correct. I know that it was really hard when I had started gaining. You know, I had a rough year. I was not focused on my plan and on me. I was focused on everything around me. And so I was like, had this kind of like this fear inside that I was like, oh my God, I failed. Oh my God. And then I'm like, girl, stop it. You did not fail. Like, you still are up moving. You're no longer bedridden. Like, there, focus on the good. Focus on the good things that happen instead of that failure mentality that we hear from a lot of people. A lot of people be like, I feel like I'm failing. And it's like, you're not, though.
You're not. And that's why yesterday. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was like, that's why yesterday in the stories, like, it was Valentine's Day. And I was like, have what you want to have and do not be mean to yourself and say that you're having something bad. Like, don't shame yourself because you had chocolate or whatever the case is. That's off. I was like, you can say off plan, but just don't say all those negative things to yourself, because that's where like you spiral out and then you'll just keep eating those things. So it's like, it's all about the next meal, the next day. Like, you can always recover, but you have to also want to recover as well.
100%. And I feel like you know, we are so hard on ourselves, and so much of it is so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I personally, I am not going to sit here and pretend like I know it all, because I'm still learning as I move forward on my journey too. And one of the things I always say too, is there's no end point. It's not like you hit a goal weight and ta-da, I'm done. I did it. Like
right.
It's an ongoing thing with ongoing struggles. And for me, it's also moving away from that scale mentality. I fell victim to that pressure too. Mm-hmm. And almost, and this is not to scare anyone listening to this, almost no one stays at their lowest weight. No. Kind of like what you mentioned before, Kelly, right. Like it's just not always healthy.
It's not. It's a
small amount. And on average, people who go through weight loss surgery will lose anywhere from 60 to 77% of their excess weight. And most keep about 50% off, which means there's about a 10 to 20% rebound that happens. Mm. That is normal, anticipated, and expected, and usually healthy. I'm a solid like 20 pounds up from my lowest. I could sit here and be like, oh my God, I failed. And I'm like, I didn't fail. Yeah. I still talk myself out of that. Like I'm super healthy and I go to CrossFit of all things now. And I do all these things. Like, how can I say that I failed just because the number is telling me I did? It didn't. That's our own idea. And one of the things that I talk about a lot in like the mindset work I do with the people I work with is I really think, and I'm not a therapist, just full disclaimer, but I think a big root of this is like this internalized feeling of not being enough. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not working hard enough. I'm not doing hard enough. I didn't lose enough. Mm-hmm. It's like that feeling of enoughness. And one of the things I work into my daily affirmations is like, I am enough because I personally struggle so hard still to believe that. Mm-hmm. And I know for me to be successful long-term, that's something I have to keep working on and overcome or I will spiral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that enough. This is where I kind of lack, because I feel like I'm never doing quite enough, or I'm not good enough at something, or I'm not, you know, I'm not small enough. I'm not, you know, it's, and I'm not focused on like the, what am I enough now? Like you name the things that I am enough in, you know, I run a successful podcast with a great co-host and like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Right there. And well, I have a hard time.
We put these expectations on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then when we don't meet them, then we're hard on ourselves. So we just like, not to say we need to lower expectations, but we just need to be more conscious and logical about what the expectation should be. Like the expectation should be, let's wake up and have some water. Like it could be so simple. It doesn't have to be this extravagant day of like, I'm going to run 5 miles and I'm going to get all my work done and I'm going to prep the whole week. Like you can't do all the things you want to do in one day. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be more conscious of it.
I talk a lot on my page about the comparison game and how toxic it is.
Yeah.
Because as real and open and honest as I am on my page, and when it's one of the big compliments I get, oh my God, like you're so real and honest, and I am, but you still have to remember whoever you are watching or following on this journey is still through some type of filtered lens.
Right.
You don't see everyone's whole day. So if you're looking at someone on Instagram and you're like, well, she looks like she got everything done and she's at a lower weight than me and she's doing this. What am I doing wrong? Like, you don't know what she's battling.
You're right.
You don't know what's on the other end of that screen. Mm-hmm. So
also people, you don't know when they recorded that.
Yeah, you really don't.
I think people forget about that. You can take photos and videos a shit ton in one day and then slowly post those and it makes it look like you're having an awesome fucking month.
I think Subtracting Shelby did a story like that. She was like, the thing that I posted just now, that was from 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Like she was like really pointing out like it, just because it's on your stories doesn't mean that it happened today.
Yep.
It's in that comparison game. I played that in the beginning.
You did.
And I was like, okay, I want to get down. I want to look like them. I want to do as good as them. I want to eat what they want to eat or what they're eating. And it's just, that wasn't functional in my life. It's not something.
They weren't you.
They're not me.
Yeah. Like, you got to do you.
And that's something that we preach on this podcast. We just changed our slogan to everybody's different. Every journey's different. So just be you.
Yep. Just be you.
Because that's what we want. We are the true us every single day. And, you know, whether we want to cuss, whether we want to break down and cry, whether, you know, whatever we're doing, it's us. And that's what we want everybody else to be.
And that's what I try and tell people too. Like the things that I I teach in my program or that I talk about my page, I want you to go home and apply in a way that works for you. The journey is not one size fits all, no matter how hard we try and make it be. It is not. And I talk all the time, everyone's weight is different. Everyone needs a different amount of food. Mm-hmm. I did a whole post a couple of weeks ago where I went on like a rant. I was like, can we just as a community agree to stop shaming each other's freaking portion sizes?
Oh my God, please.
I could never eat all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm 10 years old. I could never eat what you, oh my God, like, can we stop? Nobody cares what you focus on. You will focus on, like, that's the kind of shaming that I don't know.
Yeah, those are microaggressions. That's what that is. They're just like slowly dropping those in. Like,
yep.
Cause like, I get that just from like work sometimes. And it's just like, hey man, simmer down.
Yeah. Well, and we get that question a lot. Like, how much do you eat now? And we'll be like, well, everybody's different. And there are some days that I can eat 3 ounces. There are some days I can eat 6 ounces. It literally just depends on where I'm at that time.
It depends on so many things too. And I get the question all the time, did I break my pouch? Is my restriction gone? I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. It depends on so many things, back to, you know, hormones and stress factors. And you know, how much did you work out that day or the day before? Mm-hmm. You know, is it that time of the month? Did you get enough sleep? What were you eating? Because let me tell you, your girl can pound a sleeve of Oreos and add a couple extra ounces of chicken on my plate and I am done.
Yep.
What is the quality of your, and that's not to shame like good versus bad food, but I always say food is just different. So it's going to maximize your restriction different. We all know those bariatric loopholes. If you take a cookie every 5 minutes, guess what? I can still eat the box of cookies.
Yes.
It's all about like the habits around it. And it's that, and for anyone listening too, you can't really break your restriction or your pouch. It can potentially stretch. And the only way you could ever know that is by going to get like a scope done by your surgeon. Mm-hmm. Our stomachs are muscles and they are meant to stretch. And this is one thing that I would love to just say. This is something that my dietitian told me when I started my journey that has stuck with me ever since. And I try and tell everyone. She told me, she's like, the purpose of this surgery is not for you to eat as little as possible for as long as possible. The purpose of this surgery is to get you in a healthy place. And the purpose is always to get you back to a regular healthy diet. And what she told me in the terms of regular healthy diet, she's like, I don't mean like your standardized American, like Western diet that is not always healthy, but like a normal portioned healthy routine is the goal to get you back to.
And I think that's the key, routine.
Routine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not like, oh, let me just eat my 2 ounces of chicken for the rest of my life and I can't have anything else. I'm also a big advocate that you should be having this surgery to live your best life, to go out and do the things you always dreamed of. If you're not going to social events or you're not traveling or you're not doing things that are important to you because you had your surgery and you can't break your routine, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you have the flexibility within your routine to go do the things you've always dreamed of. This is not to keep us small and in a box for the rest of our lives. This is so that we can feel confident to go live our lives.
Thank you. That seriously
is perfect right there. I cannot explain to you.
Oh,
seriously, that's one of my biggest things because I was bedridden for so many years. I lived in a literal box for the majority of the time. And so now that I can, I'm going to go to New Orleans and I'm going to have a freaking beignet and I'm not going to care.
Like, that's right.
I'm going to have it and then I'm going to move on. And then my next meal will be primarily protein.
And you should. And that I don't know if you saw my page at all, but I was in Disney 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I documented my whole like week and did some reels on like balance in Disney. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not going to like, I have the best, I'm like a Disney fanatic. I have the best wins of my life. I was listening to one of your podcasts and
that would be me.
Kelly's a fanatic.
I'm obsessed.
I just don't care.
She get the Disney thing.
I don't.
I'm a Disney adult. So if you ever want like a podcast, like episode on Disney adulting in the very, like I'm your girl.
Oh, we could do that.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's do that.
Oh, let's totally do it.
I can already tell we're going to have a part two with you.
Yes.
There are so much more questions and I know you're going to have to wrap here in a minute or so. So like, we're definitely going to do a part two
if you would like to, I would be absolutely honored. Again, I can go off course a little bit and talk a lot. I can talk for days.
Well, you're in the right space because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yes. Yes. And we are so similar, Jamie. Like everything you're saying, I'm like, yep.
Yep.
Is it a really long like coffee date session?
Yes. Yes. Ooh,
that could be cool.
That would be fun. Yeah. I would love that.
Well, because you do. Down. Huh? What'd you say?
That I'm down.
You're down. Yay! You're down. Awesome. Yay. Well, I know that you have to go. Is there anything that you want to tell our audience before we wrap up that's that you've been wanting them to know?
Maybe tell them where to find you and your tribe program.
And all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you need support or resources, the best place to go is to follow me on Instagram. I'm at the Sleeved Dietitian. If you go to the link in my bio, I have other resources there too. You know, I have the link to my tribe program. It's a membership program, so you can subscribe month to month. I have a there's no like minimum commitment. If you come to my program and it's not the right fit for you, you can unsubscribe at any time. Nice. I just want people to know that it's there and available if you feel like you need that type of support. I also have in there, a link to subscribe to my newsletter. I send out weekly emails with support and resources. And I also have in there my free meal planning guide. I don't know if either of you ladies have seen that.
I'm not.
So my team was a little upset with me. They're like, you should probably sell that. And I was like, no, I want. Nice. And it's not really a guide. It's more of a 50-page ebook on all the things you need to know about creating healthy, balanced meals after weight loss surgery with journal prompts and all sorts of things.
Well, so, I know where I'm going after this.
Yep.
If anyone wants my free meal planning guide, it is there. I'm a huge advocate that we should not be limiting resources. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you join one of my programs, you're getting the coaching benefit and that's more of the service you're paying for. I never mm-hmm. want people to feel like they don't have access to legitimate resources and information. Yep. So that's the best place to go. If you have specific questions for me, the best place is to click the email button in the contact section of my profile. You can feel free to DM me. I just feel terribly bad when those messages get demoted to the bottom and I don't see them. Mm-hmm. So if you really have questions and want to reach me, just email me. The email button is in my bio my profile as well.
Awesome. Perfect. Awesome. And we will have that all linked on our website on Jamie's episode.
So, yeah, in the description.
Yes.
So
I can send you the link. I can send you the link to the free meal planning guide. If you
that would be that. Awesome. Oh, thank you. Yes. Because I would love to take a look at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. This was so much fun.
It's amazing.
There's so much more I want to ask. I know.
So part two coming at you. Hopefully, very soon.
Very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to watch this, where are you going?
Are going to either patreon.com/OSLP and sign up, click your tier. It's $10 or higher
for videos.
You get all the videos. And then also you can go to YouTube and check us out. It's just our Sleeve Life podcast and click that little bell, subscribe, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, we love you guys and we will see you next time. Bye. Hey, listeners, if you've enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform that you get your podcasts. Also, check us out on patreon.com/OSLP for exclusive content with your favorite girls ever.
Yeah.
And also check out our YouTube page. Subscribe, hit that little bell so you get notified when our new videos drop a week after they are released.
Yeah, and we would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logos, Eric Vaughn with 17th Street Studios because he provides our music and our recording space.
Yes, he does.
Thanks for listening to our Sleeve Life podcast where we are breaking that stigma one episode at a time.